Several centuries ago, it wasn't normal for a priest to preach regularly at the Mass. There were different things that people would come together for when he would preach, but many times at Mass, it just wasn't normal. So much so that during the time of St. Pius X, he said that all pastors should preach every Sunday, should try to preach every Sunday. And if you think about it, think about it tonight, there was a reason for that. It wasn't because they didn't want people to know what the gospel was about, but it was because many times the liturgy is so filled with signs that they almost speak for themselves. And tonight is one of those nights. In the directives, it says that the homily, though brief, should still be present. And that's needed to be brief because we just went through all of salvation history. And we started outside lighting this candle as a reminder to us of the light of Christ. And we sang the praises, as it's called, the praises of the candle, not because the candle is, I mean, it is a special candle, but what it symbolizes is so powerful. That the death could not overcome the light. And for centuries, many people were unsure about that. But not the Jews. From the time of Adam and Eve, after their sin, they were looking for a redeemer. And so they had this great hope that one day, God would send the Messiah who would rescue them. And on that first Easter night, after the Lord had been killed and then buried, and then early in the morning, which no one saw, the Lord rose from the dead. And from that moment until he comes in glory, nothing has ever been the same. And it can never be the same. We could get down about the things of the world and how awful the world is, and there's lots of awful things in the world. But if you paid attention, and it's hard to when you hear all these different prayers, but the very first prayer that I prayed after the first reading, it said, there's almost nothing that surpasses the glory of creation except the resurrection. And St. Thomas, when he's writing about the beauty of the soul in a state of grace, says that one soul in the state of grace far surpasses all of the glory of creation. And that's the reality that we're celebrating tonight. The resurrection of Jesus Christ introduces to his followers, makes it possible to introduce into their souls his very love and life that he shares with the Trinity, grace. And he did do everything that's needed to be done for our redemption. And through his passion and death and resurrection, he gives us the ability to participate in everything that he did. And one of my favorite lines from St. Thomas, that when we're baptized, it's as if I died on the cross, and it's as if I rose from the dead. That's how closely united we are to Christ through baptism. And that's something we should ponder quite regularly. The great unity that exists by our baptism when we're in the state of grace between our soul and the Lord. And tonight, for several of our RCIA people, they will receive that baptism they've been preparing for the last 9 months. All of their sins wiped away, as well as all the punishment due those sins. And then we have, after the baptisms, then all of us will renew our baptismal promises and will be sprinkled with that water that we were once cleansed with in our own baptism. as a reminder of the great power of that sacrament. That's why in Catholic churches we always have holy water fonts at every entrance, so that every time when we plunge our fingers into the water and make the sign of the cross to remind ourselves of how we were washed clean. And after the baptismal renewal, then we have several other people who are going to come into full communion with the Catholic faith. They've already been baptized, so they've received that great grace, and now it will be ignited in a new way through their union with the church and then through confirmation, which our baptized will also receive. I'll call down the Holy Spirit upon them and then anoint them with the sacred chrism so that they too, like all of us who are confirmed, are now soldiers of Christ, willing to go out and battle just the way the apostles did, not with swords, but with God's grace and the gospel. And then a few minutes after that, we start the regular part of the Eucharistic liturgy, and then all of these people will make their first Holy Communion. What a powerful moment in the life of every Catholic. Jesus Christ comes into our body and through our body makes us like him. It has an effect that goes beyond the body but goes to the very depths of the soul that he has claimed by baptism, that he has strengthened through the calling down of the Holy Spirit. And now, as long as we live and we're in a state of grace, we receive this great sacrament, this most perfect sacrament of the body and blood of Christ, so that we can be transformed unto him. And then, at the very end of the Mass, just like normal, we're sent out. But from now until Pentecost, always with that great hymn of glory, Alleluia. And we have to leave our doors just like the apostles left Pentecost, which is receiving something powerful within us, which all of us will tonight in a different way, and take it out to the world. Take it out to this world that is aching to know Christ. And it might be that you and I are the only way that he'll be made manifest to someone else. And that's the power of this particular Mass, the mother of all vigils. A long Mass, absolutely, but one filled with the mystery of Christ's redemption, his resurrection, and then his sharing of that grace with you and with me. And of course, as always, that should remind us of where we're supposed to end, which is heaven. All of this was done so that you and I could be reunited with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, not just by grace, but in glory forever. May it be so.